passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Continuing, second half of the show is live. We already shared with you the news that Mississippi State got wiped out today against Michigan State. They were the first team to play and the first team out. Meanwhile, 34-29, South Carolina trails Oregon at halftime. Updates on all of those. Kentucky plays later. We'll head to Pittsburgh for an update before that game. And Tennessee much later on. Jack is up next. Good afternoon. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call, man. That was a great. I'm Jack, Chocolate Jack, that called last week and was wondering if I, man, was writing underneath pseudonym Nick Saban hit pieces. but here's the deal. Jim, Terry was a great call. I've been listening like Terry had before the radio show was on, when you're still riding in the Birmingham Herald or whatever it was. Then on Wax Radio, when you first come on ERC or BRC one. And Jim, he walks about the old school tradition stuff. Jim, you're so stupid. You ain't even been here. You're still wet behind the damn ears, son. I don't care how long you say you've been calling in here. You're wet behind the ears. Hush. Hope he heard that.
Well, thanks, Jay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how old Jim is. I do know he's been calling about 24 years. So let me do the math. If he was 20 when he started calling, he's still under 50. I don't think he was 20. I don't know. It seemed like he was more like 40, maybe 50. Most people have Jim at 77. One person here, what do you have him at, 78? 77, 78. Is there a difference? 77? I don't think there is. That's where we have Jim, and maybe that's why he's never told us how old he is. I mean, it's really not a big deal. Most people, you can look it up, but we don't know Jim's name.
There's no record of
anything he's ever done other than call this program and spew venom. Chris is up next. Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how's everybody doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
It sounds kind of lively today. Yet another day, yet another major lawsuit. I mean,
yeah.
Why do we even play the games? Let's just let the courts decide who gets it, right?
Yeah, somebody's making a lot of money in the ACC, and they're all lawyers.
Yeah, you used to think Jimmy Sexton and the agent was the game to go, but I think lawyer is the new hot ticket.
Yeah, being the ACC outside counsel right now is a moneymaker.
It is shocking to me. I'm just surprised. I'm really surprised that nobody's heard anything from Miami. You know, I mean, I guess that tells you the state of Miami athletics,
yeah.
Right?
Once again, Miami is behind the times. There are there are five other schools that could join this.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Duke. I mean, really, we think about it in football, but the bigger draw in the ACC is really basketball. I mean, I'm surprised that, Duke.
But Chris, therein lies the problem. And I'm a basketball fan like you are. The 3 weeks of basketball that are underway right now, maybe four including the tournaments, that is college basketball's lifeline right now. But beyond that, it's not a big draw all year long like college football is. And the ACC stayed with the basketball model for a very long time. And now they're trying
exactly
to pivot
right.
to football, and it's not working. By the way, it's not working that great in basketball.
Well, you also have another problem with that, right? So a lot of the things around football have been around conferences saying they've been left out. There's implicit bias. There's conferences who have more power. The basketball tournament, right, doesn't have that, right?
No.
It's really more wide open. So that argument kind of falls apart if they were trying to claim that around basketball. But I think what it's really going to end up being is the money, right, to the athletes. And I think basketball probably has a bigger draw in my mind to the athletes because of the lower numbers and kind of the higher profile and the fact that you know, they jump to the NBA a lot faster. I think NIL is going to look vastly different with basketball.
Well said. Chris, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Gary is up next in Knoxville. Hey, Gary.
How you doing, my friend?
We're
I had to go take a shower and wash Todd's back asperness off of me, and I got back just in time to hear Jim, and now I need to go take another shower to get the spew off of me. Your interview with Mr. Gall was outstanding. I am unfamiliar with his work, but his observations were very poignant, spot on. I will definitely start following him. Like him, I am curious as to where we end up, but I'm ready to just get there, and I'm tired of the drama. Feels like we've been working on alignment and playoff for my entirety of life. Anyway, what prompted me to call was yesterday's SEC schedule announcement.
Right.
And more so how it has lit up message boards everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, so tell us about
it.
Got
me curious, crunching some numbers, and I can't find an answer to what I thought would be a simple query. I mean, I've Googled it so much today that I've got screen burn.
Well, let us help you if we can.
I certainly hope so. I listen to the local sports radio every day, and it's a great station. I listen to it all day long until you come on.
Okay.
And I have queried every show today, and nobody has given me an answer. What is the revenue payout to the visiting team in an intra-conference football game? Tennessee goes to Starkville. What do they get?
Okay, I lied. I said I'd have you an answer. I don't think I'm not sure there really is one. Now, let's say Western Kentucky comes in to play Tennessee. That would be about somewhere between $1 million and $2 million. But I think the conference games, somebody help me with this, because I think the home team gets the share. I think that's the whole advantage of having a home game.
Well, okay, then I'm very perplexed. All of this push towards a 9-game schedule.
Right.
Why does Arkansas want to give up earning millions of dollars playing?
Okay, well, I think I can answer that question for you. It's not so much that they want to give that up, but the money that they will make up through the television revenues will supersede whatever they would have made from the gate. And that's really, if you want to chisel this debate.
But it's not there.
Well, not yet. Here's...
Now, exactly. Now, I can understand. We go to this 9-game model when the TV contract is up for renegotiation.
Well, no. Hold on. We are in, starting this season, we're in a new contract for the first time in 15 years. There's no more CBS. CBS is gone.
But is there a provision that if the SEC adds another game?
Yes, absolutely, there is. There was a provision that here's what the old contract didn't provide for, and that's why CBS is gone. The SEC expected CBS. It wasn't in the contract, but they expected them to pay more value for adding two more schools because that adds to your footprint and adds to your revenue, your ratings. But CBS wouldn't do it, therefore it was a non-starter. There is a clause in the new contract that paid for Oklahoma and Texas to come in. It was a tremendous amount of money. And there's also the current negotiation going on. And this is always weird talking about the people you work for, but let me assure you, I am so far down the totem pole that I don't know anything more than you know by opening up your browser every day. But I do know this, that should ESPN up its ante to the SEC to a significant degree, then the league would then be able to move toward 9 games. It would pay for whatever we are talking about that you would lose.
But that's the issue.
That is the issue.
ESPN is under
that is
no
exactly
obligation
the issue
whatsoever to up the ante.
And I think the SEC believed, this is always, a weird conversation, but I'll say it. The SEC believed that was going to happen. It didn't happen because ESPN is absorbing a lot of different properties right now. You can look up and around. I mean, there's a lot happening at this company. And by the way, it's not ESPN. It's every media company in the world. As we go from linear television to the streaming world, the expectation is that by within a few months or maybe a year, that is going to change, therefore leading to a 9-game schedule. However, as soon as you say that, this craziness in the ACC may put a pause on that because the SEC may decide, listen, why don't we wait and see what the landscape looks like in the event we may need to include more schools into the conference.
But if ESPN is under no obligation to pay more for a ninth game, why would they?
Okay, let's play TV executive for a second.
Sure.
If I don't have a schedule in front of me, but somebody can help me. If you now have, and when I talk about ESPN, we're making this transformation this summer, and everybody will know what I'm talking about in a couple of months. ESPN means this. That's ABC, owned by Disney. ESPN, and this network right here, the SEC network. So those are the three tributaries that you will watch the games starting this season. So if you're sitting there up in New York or wherever, and you're saying, is it worth to open the season with an Alabama-Western Kentucky game or Alabama and South Carolina, just for the sake of argument? My inclination is to say that any conference game is going to be more valuable than the bottom two non-conference games that everybody has. I'm not talking about the Texas-Michigan game or the Alabama-Wisconsin game. I'm talking about the games that nobody really wants to see.
Absolutely. But I mean, we all know ESPN is strapped.
Well,
I'm
not defending the company. They're not so much strapped is that they're converting to a different culture. And Jim from Tuscaloosa is not going to like this because it's change. But everything in the media world is moving out of traditional television. Not yet. I mean, you're still going to watch the best games on linear television. But, you know, if you notice in the most recent playoffs in the NFL, there was a game on Peacock. A playoff game on Peacock. I can assure you, I didn't watch it because I'm not spending the extra $18 to watch the Chiefs play the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Amazon has a Thursday night game on every week, and I heard this today. Hey, thanks for the call. I really didn't understand. Why is Amazon broadcasting NFL games? Have you watched an Amazon game?
No.
I really haven't been overly interested because mostly they're not watchable games. I mean, they're terrible games. But I heard the head of Amazon sales today say, that the biggest influx of customers for Amazon Prime, which is a big part of the Amazon business. Now, what does that mean? That means that's Amazon television, but that's Amazon streaming. It's also when you go to your phone and buy something by Amazon and get it the next day or maybe even that day. They had the biggest 3-hour window in new customers for Amazon Prime after the first NFL game. That's what it's all about. I know that's confusing, but that's the rest of the story. We'll be right back. More to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Not bad for an amateur. We come back. Welcome back. Terry was with us earlier and apparently upset Jim, and now he's back.
Hey, Paul. You know, I called to explain to people how you were when I first met you and stuff, and I was being honest. I don't think you've ever said anything that I thought was a lie. The only person I know that has lied that I have heard, well, not the only person, but the main person is Jim. Jim, you know, he's stuck in concrete, you know, and he probably needs to sink somewhere. And I didn't call to pick on anybody, but, you know, Jim is, he has no common sense. The common sense he picked up in life, put it this way, when he went camping with his father or whatever, you know, when they got in the canoe, his dad pushed the canoe off when his ass was in it. Anyway, y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you,
I love your show.
Thank you so much. That's awfully nice to hear. You feeling good? Can you handle a Yankee call from Ohio? Elliot is up next.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to, you were talking about streaming services, and there's this show I've been watching, and it's not sports, but there's a lot of jumping and running fences, and there's these three guys on it. It's called Moonshiners. It's got Handsome Joe. It's got AJ, and it's got a guy named Larry. AJ's got a van down by the river in that show, I think. And,
well, what is that on? Is that on Netflix or some other channel? Which channel is that on?
Paul, I don't even think you have to stream it. I think you can watch it on regular cable. You know, just for us regular folks like Larry and AJ and whatnot. You know, I might not be in a bracket, Paul, but I can bring it. I can bring it every day of the week, so they can bring my name up. I'm bringing it.
According to whom?
According to the world. OSU against the world, right?
Wrong. Patrick is up next in Texas. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Yeah, I just wanted to come on to your awesome show.
Thank you very much.
And I just wanted to come on here and say and really call my shot, you know. I'm a huge A&M fan down from Texas. So, what I really want to come on here and say is I personally think that A&M will be the farthest team in the SEC in the tournament. I'm talking Elite Eight. I'm talking Final Four.
And I want to understand why you believe that other than you're an A&M fan.
Well, you know, Wade Taylor, he's really been getting hot in the SEC tournament, you know. I think he was averaging 30 a game. Against Kentucky, you know, he's putting up monster numbers. And I think that we can take down Nebraska in the first round. I think our offense is going to be too much for their defense. You know, Big Ten, they never do good in the tournament. And down here in the SEC, we know how to play some basketball. And Wade Taylor, he's going to bring it.
Well, that was a very cogent explanation. Thank you for sharing it. Can you help me? Can you place a bet in Vegas for me based on that? How about Jerry next? Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hello. I was calling about Jim and how he was degrading Dominique recently.
Yeah, right.
You know, I know people think Jim's weird because he's living in the house his mother left him. And I don't know if there's a Norman Bates thing going on there or not, but I'm not worried about that.
A little bit.
He, you know, for an old man to be tearing down a little kid appalls a lot of people.
Sad.
But they're not looking at it right. The problem is, you know, Jim, whose only notoriety in life has come from being on this show, has sees this young up-and-comer who's another legend, who's really probably one of your best callers of all time. And can you imagine what that's doing to him, seeing this legend come up through the ranks.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Jerry. I think psychologically, Legend's ascension has eaten at Jim so much that he has come apart. And now he sees Legend, and now in Dominic, he sees Son of Legend.
Well, worse than that, the only thing I can compare it to is Ted Williams himself. Can you imagine when Ted Williams found out Jim went 2 for 4 when he was in third grade? And he could see where this was heading. He knew his name.
I think that's
was
the reason why Ted retired. He said this young kid, it was the same way. Who was it DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle? Weren't they on the same team for a year or two? And Mantle was coming up. And it's always that's the hardest thing. And when you see that young guy, Jim just can't handle it. And hey, thank you very much. Very good analysis, by the way. You psychoanalyzed that one brilliantly. Let's check in with Joey. Hey, Joey, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how good friends you are with JK?
Let me put it this way. I know him.
You know him? Well, I'm going to tell you something. He sits back on the sofa with them dark glasses and that chain on his neck. Wonder how many times he got to polish that brass. You know, because he ain't polished nothing in Miami in a long time.
No, he doesn't even, I mean, that's the saddest thing in the world. He's like I-Man. The only thing he can do, he can't talk about his own team. He has to hate on Alabama.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's another one. That's, what's that dude from Fail City? What's his name?
AJ.
He's the same way. He likes them dark glasses. At least, the other one's got a necklace on there that he can polish every day. That dude ain't got nothing to polish but his mouth.
Well, he's got one thing, and I'm not sure there's much there to polish. We'll take a short break. We talk some basketball on a very busy day. One SEC team down. John Clay covering a team that does not need to go down this weekend, and that is the University of Kentucky. John joins us live from Pittsburgh next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. We've been talking to John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader since we were up in Lexington during football season about what was going to be expected. There was a moment in time when it all looked bleak, but John was upbeat, and he turned out to be prescient, as John reports to us live from Pittsburgh, where the Cats will be taking on another first-round opponent. Maybe this one's a little easier than a couple years ago. John, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Great to have you on. So give us the lay of the land in the Bluegrass Strait and moving over to Pittsburgh. How are you?
Well, I mean, they're fingers crossed. Let's put it that way, Paul. I mean, they finished the year on a good note, won their last five in a row, beat Tennessee, the SEC champ in Knoxville. going into the SEC tournament. And then I wouldn't say they laid an egg, but they were certainly outplayed by Texas A&M in the first round of the SEC tournament, where their weakness that's bothered them all year kind of reared its ugly head again in bad defense. And they lost 97-87. Still got a number three seed playing here in Pittsburgh against a 14th seed in Oakland. I think fans feel like that this team has the offense to make a run. They can score, which you need to do in the NCAA tournament. But can they be good enough defensively? Can they improve just enough defensively to make a deep run in this tournament? We'll see starting tonight.
Yeah, listen, a lot of people have heard of Oakland. It's not Oakland, California, for those who are wondering.
Right.
But what should Cat fans, and they're always concerned, but what's the concern this weekend, both today and with an expected win, what will happen on Saturday?
Well, I mean, Oakland, Greg Campy is a friend of John Calipari's. He's in his fourth decade of the coach at Oakland. They won their regular season title. They also won the league tournament title. They had a player in Trey Townsend who scored 38 points in their Horizon League final. They also play, Paul, you may remember this, Dale Brown, the old amoeba defense, the old defense where Dale used to say, we don't know what we're doing on defense, so the opponent can't know what we're doing on defense. That's kind of what Oakland plays. So there might be some concern about that. The main thing, I think, for Kentucky fans, the job one is to get out the first weekend, because they were not able to do that the last couple of years. As you mentioned, the St. Peter's upset as a number 15 seed 2 years ago, and then they lost to Kansas State in the round of 32 last year. So job one is to get out of the first weekend, something they haven't done since you go back to 2019.
And they'll wait the Texas Tech NC State winner. Texas Tech's had a pretty good year, obviously. NC State won the ACC tournament. If you could look ahead, and I know Kentucky fans don't ever want to look ahead, what does that matchup look like depending on which way it goes?
Well, I think Kentucky had a really good draw. I think they match up well against either one of those teams. It's going to be interesting to see if NC State, winning the ACC tournament, how much did that take out of them, because they had to play, so many games in a row to win that tournament. Texas Tech had a good year. They got beat, though, I think by 23 by Houston in the tournament. I think Kentucky feels like that they match up well against either one of those teams. But on the other end, NC State's hot. And, coming into the tournament, and Kentucky fans, I know, remember that UConn run back in 2011 when Kemba Walker shot them, through the Big East tournament into the NCAA tournament. And then they beat Kentucky in the national semifinals in the Final Four to make the final. But I think Kentucky's optimistic about their chances. You didn't hear Cal's usually complaining about the draw, how the committee put it to him, that sort of thing. He didn't do much complaining about it this year, so I think he likes the draw as well.
Well, there was no oxygen left after Bruce Pearl, so John,
or Bruce.
I mean, I joke about this, but I always believe Kentucky's getting to the Final Four. And it feels pretty good this year, too. I mean, I know Houston has been there a couple of years ago and is always a threat. Marquette's good. I mean, listen, everybody's good this time of the year. Duke, some people have. I mean, as you look at this with a keen eye of having covered the game for a long time, give us just an overall assessment of why Kentucky could make it and really what could get in their way.
Well, why they could make it is because they're good on offense. The thing that tripped them up the last couple of years is they were not a good shooting team. They had bad shooting nights against both St. Peter's, especially from three against both St. Peter's and Kansas State. This team leads the nation in three-point shooting. They can score. What could trip them up is John Calipari usually has a good defensive team. I've always said I think he's an underrated defensive coach, but this year they're not a good defensive team. KenPom has them, I think, at 110. No team, there's only one team in the past five Final Fours that had a higher defensive rating of 50, ranking of 50, and KenPom made the Final Four, and that was Miami last year, had a 99 rating, and they got beat in the national semifinals. So Kentucky kind of has to buck some history to make the Final Four. The thing that's going in their favor is, I think, like I said, the draw. I think they got a good draw. They match up against those teams well. And as people say, the NCAA tournament is all about matchups. So we'll see what happens. But I think if Kentucky does get to the Final Four, it's because they're really, really good on offense.
And so I'll spare you all the what happens if, because I am fairly confident, John, you and I'm hearing, I've heard it from you all along. And what was interesting when we talked in the bleak, cold days of January, you felt like this team could come alive. What did you sense and what happened?
Well, I mean, a young team, as Calipari always has, you know, with young teams, and they, you know, they had some injuries through the midpoint of the year. DJ Wagner got hurt. They did not get Big Z, Zvonimir Avisic, the Croatian kid, was not eligible until into the SEC schedule. They had to blend those guys in. Aaron Bradshaw missed a bunch of games at the beginning of the year, as did Ugana Onyenso, because of injuries where they both got hurt over the summer. So it took a while to kind of blend guys in together. A big key is to get Trey Mitchell back. He got hurt at the end of the year. He's back playing, but he has not been the player that he was earlier in the year. If he could get back to where he was playing, that would really help him as well. So I think, you know, I thought all on this team could be, had a chance to be a better team in late February and March than it was early in the year. But there's no doubt, like you said, they're bumped. They lost three games in a row at Rupp Arena, which never happened in the history of Rupp Arena. You know, really, Paul, their best wins have been on the road. They went to Auburn as an 8.5-point underdog and beat Auburn. They went to Tennessee as an 8.5-point underdog and beat Tennessee. So they kind of need to take that same kind of mentality in this tournament. They play better on the road than they did at home. So it's been a weird year in that respect. But I thought all along, they, with their talent and with their youth, that they would be a better team at the end of the year.
Well, they are not home tonight. They're in Pittsburgh. And, John, we look forward to catching up with you tomorrow, see how it goes. John Clay covered Kentucky for a couple of years for the Lexington Herald, going on about 40. Anyway, we take a break. Great to have you on, John. We'll come back with much more right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It is late on Thursday afternoon. A lot happening in the basketball world. We'll update you on all of it. First, Augie in New Orleans.
You're right, Paul. It's late on a Thursday, and I'm trying to figure out what I need. I'm going to eat tonight. Do you happen to know what the blue plate special at the Piggly Wiggly and Red Bay is tonight?
Let me ask Joe, and I need to run it by Todd to make sure your wife will be available.
My guman, not my wife. My guman.
I'm sorry. I don't speak
Paul,
Pell City.
Speaking of Todd, Paul. You seem to be a bit put out with him today in his call, but yesterday,
was.
Or maybe
was.
I could tell. Just a little, I could tell. But, you know, you do tolerate him. You let him talk, and he seems to, dangle even further every time he opens his mouth. But the day before or yesterday, whenever, he had a really good story about being out in a boat and a young lady jumping in and losing her top, and it was a very titillating and interesting story. But you didn't let him develop it. And that was the best thing he ever uttered. And I was waiting for more. I'm waiting for the final story.
Well, I'm sure he'll be back. I think his Clavern meeting is probably over.
And I learned some things. When's the last time you heard somebody say, I've just done my chores? I haven't heard that word in about 20 years or so. So you know, yeah,
I think the last time when I was a kid watching Opie come in from outside, and Aunt B was giving him apple pie.
You know, the last time I recall, or the first time in my life I recall when somebody told me to go play down yonder, I'm like asking people, where is that? Where's yonder? I had no idea. You know, I didn't know what it was.
Augie, did you grow up in New Orleans?
I grew up in New Orleans, but then I moved to the country. So I kind of lived a dual life.
Okay.
So my relatives were in the city.
According to AJ, you're still living a dual life.
Well, I'm impressed with AJ because AJ has a Chick-fil-A in Pell City.
Listen, Chick-fil-A, Pell City is a pretty big city. It is a suburb of Talladega.
Oh, wow. Now we're talking metropolis.
Well, they have a big track there. I mean, it's not a suburb, but it's the exit or two before you get to Dega.
So, Paul, John from St. Louis, we've got to congratulate him. He's a major now. I don't know, a major disaster or a major of what, but congratulations to John of St. Louis. Can you imagine being a supervisor?
Part-time job, Augie. Part-time job. Now, I don't know very much about the juvenile court system.
Delinquent program.
I mean, I know more than I probably should based on my youth, but I do know. But that guard window that he sits in, can you help me understand better what that means?
I have no idea. That's why you have to get Legion to explain to us how the juvenile penal system works.
Yeah, I think he's pressing the button, is he not, to let the inhabitants in and out?
A lot of buttons, but I don't know if that's one of them. But I got to take everything I said bad about Legion and his prognostication skills away. John from Louisville now takes the first place as the worst predictor of sports. I mean, Mississippi State, I don't even think they should have been in there, but nonetheless, you need to give John a hour of your show where he can just read the news to everybody because he seems to like to do that. I mean, the only time John...
Yeah, but the problem is he'd probably read the news from Eisenhower's administration.
He probably would. I'm waiting to find out what happened when
Vice President Nixon took a cross-country trip.
Well, you got to ask him, Paul. I'm waiting for an update on the latest spring break trip he took with his daughter's friends. It's like Todd would be interested in that too, and we haven't heard anything about that lately. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you know anything about Todd other than he kicks people's ass at the feed store?
Well, you know, when he was talking about the boat and the skinny dipping, he mentioned that there was some sissy people in the boat.
Yeah, I heard that.
What did he mean by that? I have no idea what he meant by that.
I know what he meant by that. But that, as offensive as that was, it wasn't nearly as offensive as what he said about Saban.
Well, anyway, Paul, and I got to say this. Matt from San Antonio, don't know if you're listening today, but all the violence and vitriol that was aimed at poor Matt. I don't know what did Matt ever do to anybody?
I don't know, Augie, but I was watching the news today and Anthony Blinken was in Cairo. And I thought I saw Matt sitting next to him talking to Hamas.
Matt's the chargé d'affaires at the embassy in Cairo. So, you know, you got to start low before you work your way up to be a full ambassador. But there are lots of things Matt could do in the State Department, and I'm sure he could do them well. So you need to write him a letter of recommendation, Paul, so he can get in. And I do have to support Dwayne in that we need Will Wade back. LSU basketball.
I read an article today about Wade, and they love him at McNeese State.
Of course they do. We'd love him at LSU if he'd get us in. This LSU basketball team is the worst ever. Got beat by North Texas State in the NIT.
That was pretty bad.
At least Ole Miss had the decency to tell the NIT, no thanks. But LSU, they grovel to the plate to take it up. So everything bad I said about LSU baseball is doubly bad against this basketball team. And, oh, by the way, Paul, big weekend series against Florida. I know you're big into baseball. So,
hey, at the SEC. How did the state series turn out?
I told you how it turned out. Horrible. We won one game
barely. Okay, so you lost the series. And is the Florida series at home?
It's at home. Well, we'll see what they do, but this team doesn't seem to have any pitching or any hitting. It's like they're taking a year off. But you know why, Paul? If it's every other year we win a natty, I'm okay with that. Football, Brian Kelly has to produce, Paul. He's got to produce. And you even said this is his year. So he's on the clock. Brian Kelly,
Augie,
on the clock.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Let's check in with JD. Hey, JD, good afternoon.
Hey, Mattel, how you doing?
Oh, we are doing great. Thank you.
No, you kind of said knockoff time, and now we're feeling it. Hey, y'all, how you been doing?
JD, I am doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Hey, y'all, I ain't talked to you in about, I don't know, been a while. But look here, me and the missus is going up there to a day game and going with my cousin.
When is that game?
That's going to be the 13th.
Okay.
I'm going to take off that Friday.
Okay.
But we ain't got to be in no rush.
You and the missus, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. She gets all excited about that. And I'll go up there and take her time and what have you. And I'll, but look here, I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
In my opinion, and I said this, I called you right before me and my daddy and all us went to the Ole Miss game. In my opinion, I stand by it.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.